This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It was on May 3rd that the San Antonio City Council and Mayor Ron Nirenberg said that they would not support a city bid for hosting the 2020 Republican National Convention. The process involved an executive session. Nirenberg said, behind closed doors, politics was not discussed, and that only the pros and cons of the cost of the city versus the possible economic benefit for hosting that convention. Council members Greg Brockhaus and Clayton Perry said they believe the city is missing a golden opportunity. This would bring jobs and millions of dollars of spending to the city. Nirenberg pointed out that San Antonio would be expected to raise about $70 million for the event with the help of business leaders, including about $6 million from public coffers. There was no actual formal vote in the council's executive session, but Nirenberg and City Attorney Andy Segovia say the consensus in the room was clear, not to proceed with the bid. Since then, Brockhaus has alleged that the council violated the Open Meetings Act, and he filed a complaint with the Bexar County District Attorney Nicola Hood. I spoke with both Brockhaus and City Attorney Segovia about this and how executive sessions are used by the City Council. First, we're going to hear from Brockhaus, later Segovia, and after that, we'll be able to open up the phones and have a conversation. Here's District 6 Councilmember Greg Brockhaus.
Since September, and even before that, I've been calling into question a lot of the executive session, closed meeting practices of the City Council. So there's actually been a lot of action taken by me over the last several months in memo written format to the City Attorney, as well as responses back that are privileged, executive privileged, attorney-client privileged documentation with answers back. So there's been work kind of going on back and forth for several months with regards to the open meetings issues. But ultimately, with the last one with the Republican National Convention, I felt like it was time to take these questions outside of it. So, I've written a memo, and I've sent it to the district attorney. From my understanding at this point, it's been referred to an outside agency for potential investigation. I've been asked a few questions, some informal inquiries already, and I'm just waiting to see what the next few steps are, because there's really two sides to this. There could be civil violations and potentially criminal violations. So my whole goal with the entire thing was to get outside of the city infrastructure, since I wasn't finding what I would call positive answers out of that. So I was looking for a different outside agency organization to come in and tell us how we're doing business, whether it's right or wrong. And that's what kind of started my conversation to the district attorney. The Texas Open Meetings Act specifically says you can only do two things. You can go to the DA or you can file a civil suit. I didn't want to file a suit against the city, so I chose the district attorney route, and I believe it's under investigation, and we're going to see ultimately what that looks like in practice, whether it's Texas Rangers, whether it gets referred to the attorney general's office. That still remains to be seen.
Who's this outside agency?
Well, the outside agency is the district attorney's office. Okay. So I consider them the outside agency from the city of San Antonio. And at this point, it would be referred to potentially the Texas Rangers to see if they'll take it up. And if not, it may be referred to the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. But in either case, my satisfaction is that's out of the city infrastructure, because I think what we're doing within these meetings and our practices in executive session are definitely violating the spirit of the law, if not very important steps and pieces of it are being violated. Whether civil or criminal, that's not for me to determine, but the questions need to be asked. And the question is very simple, is what we're doing allowable under the Texas Open Meetings Act?
So the question is the city council going behind closed doors in executive session and having discussions and making decisions that should be done in the open council so that the public can view?
That is exactly the question. So the law is very specific, and it gives a citizen, any citizen, the recourse, lawsuit or the district attorney. It also turns around and says, hey, look, a final action cannot be taken out of that session. And I think we've taken at least three final actions out of executive session, the last most recent one being the Republican National Convention. That was clearly a decision made in executive session and that violates the law, in my opinion, right? So that's my opinion. I don't have a legal degree. I'm not an attorney, but I can tell you that according to the Texas Open Meetings Act, we committed a final action out of executive session. We did it with Cheryl Scully's bonus as well. We initiated $75,000 for her. That discussion was held in closed session. That is a final action. A final action of $75,000 was given to the city manager. And then, of course, we had an agreement over the labor peace agreement inclusion into an airport RFP contract. That airport RFP, that labor peace agreement, was enacted as a final action in an executive session. And then, frankly, we came back. I don't know if you remember this, some of your listeners may, but the business community kind of got up in an uproar about it, came back, and then we reversed it within an executive session. So that's two final actions on the labor peace agreement taken in executive session. Those are clear as day violations.
So let me go back. So in executive session, when the council goes behind closed doors and they discuss matters, one of the things that they can discuss are issues of personnel, correct?
Right. There's actually two things.
I know, but
they can discuss issues of personnel, yes.
Wasn't that what they talked about with City Manager Scully?
Right, and but personnel. Taking a final act, it's not the discussion, it's the action.
So then don't they come out onto the dais and they take their vote in public?
We did not vote on the city manager's salary. The mayor walked out of executive session, walked straight to the media and said, we awarded her $75,000. There was no vote. The law is very specific. You can discuss it, the merits of it, and then you come out, no final action may be taken, period. You couldn't get any more clear than no final action. The mayor stepped out and said a decision was made to give her $75,000. That's a clear violation. Now, the law also is very clear of what there's two types of discussion. There's an attorney-client privilege, and then there's all these other discussions that can take place for economic benefits, personnel issues, and very specific items. So the law gives you what you can talk about, but you cannot straw poll, you cannot vote, and you cannot have a final decision. But the real bar, right? At the end of the day, the measurement is, did you take a final action out of executive session? If you did, it's a violation of the Texas Open Meetings Act. And that's where I think we've come along. Because all those three items I mentioned, the labor peace agreement, Cheryl's bonus, and the Republican National Convention, those were not attorney-client privilege meetings. Those were strictly regular executive session type things where no action should have been taken, and the council clearly did.
Now, the city attorney is present during these executive sessions.
Yes.
And did the city attorney raise any kind of concerns, objections, or counseling the mayor and how these meetings should be conducted?
Well, he has offered his attorney opinion. Back in September, I raised, again, some of these things I said in the memo. Look, I have problems with the practices here. And he's been advising the city council since September 6th. That these activities and actions are allowable under the Texas Open Meetings Act. So, the council is operating under the city attorney's guidance, period. But at this point, having seen this go for so long, and look, I've had conversations personally with the city attorney as well, and you can ask him this. I've voiced these concerns multiple times to him, and he has committed to kind of reining it in, right, to getting a better control over an executive session meeting. But unfortunately, it got worse, and the final straw was the Republican National Convention.
So the city attorney is the person who is supposed to know the law. He's supposed to know open meeting law very well. And the city attorney is not telling the mayor and the council, hold on, you guys you're out of bounds. We need to take this out front.
Well, he's referred back and he's followed his legal guidance with his team. They came back to the council, wrote a memo in response saying that these are the parameters and these are how things work. He has committed to me personally, as well as in those memos, that he was going to rein it in and begin stronger controls over.
But he's in
session.
These meetings as they are happening.
He is, and I. You
and
know,
so he knows supposed to know the law, and he's supposed to prevent these things from breaking the law. And he needs to tell the mayor, and then the mayor can say, "I'm going to do it my way." Objection noted, but this is what we're doing. I mean, what happened in that regard?
Well, I would say that, as best I can, because some of these items, again, are within the privilege of executive session. So I do have to be careful myself about talking exactly what happened. But Andy Segovia, the city attorney, has attempted to rein it in. So I've seen him in multiple occasions say, hey, look, you can't do that. Or we have to back off of that. He has done that, especially in the last conversation we had with the Republican National Convention meeting.
So the city attorney warned the mayor, so they needed to take that conversation out front into the open meeting and break out of executive session?
No, he has not done that. What he has done is he has offered his guidance on how the meetings should be conducted. And then he has to sort of police those meetings as they go through, right? So as we're meeting, he will police them and keep an eye on things and make sure the discussion stays within the boundaries that's allowable. For instance, on the RNC discussion, I had written a memo because I was concerned about all the politics surrounding it. Every listener should know politics are not allowed as a discussion in an executive session. You cannot talk about it. You can only talk about the economic factors. So a memo came out clearly stating, and that's his guidance, you cannot discuss politics, period. You must stay to the facts and the merits of this issue when it deals with economic opportunities. And he would correct that. So that's his goal, right? His goal is to monitor and push that debate and keep it in with the boundaries. And he has attempted to do that. But what I've seen is clear violations of it. At the end of the day, what I'm alleging has occurred, right? The violation is we made the decision on the RNC in an executive session. It is not allowable. Now, everybody else will say it was a no decision. We decided to do nothing. That's the parsing of the language that's real.
Because difficult. The city council doesn't typically decide which conventions we bid on or not.
They never do.
So if they made no decision, then they didn't.
Well, I'm here to tell you, a person in that room vote counted, and there were clear violations.
So it was a straw poll.
Oh, there was a vote in that room. Yes, it was a vote count in that room. So, you know, people are – look, here's how this works. I'll give you an example. And this is the consensus issue, right? So that's the key word here when it comes to open meetings and executive sessions. So there's a big difference here. In an open meeting, you vote, you go on the record. In an executive session meeting, you do this consensus deal. So we all discuss the facts, right? We ask the questions. And then one person in the room, most often the city manager, will sit there and get asked a question. Do you have the guidance you need? And then this word, do you have the consensus necessary to move forward? So my question has always been, how does the manager get to consensus where we're at on a position unless she counts the number of members who are in favor of it? You cannot come to a consensus without a count. Mm-hmm. This is what's so foolish about the entire conversation. It's parsing words. So it's a broke system at the core of how it operates. You cannot have consensus without clearly understanding that a majority of the members are in favor of a particular policy issue. So that's point one. Point two is on the RNC. You cannot do it. You cannot say yes or no within the meeting itself. You have to come out of the meeting to do the yes or no.
Right.
No action, period.
Votes need to be taken in public.
No, that's my main point through this whole thing is no action whatsoever. Choosing not to follow it is an action, right? You made an action. You made a conscious decision to not. And look, listen to the mayor's commentary on this, David. Right. He's gone back and forth. Used the word decision. Oops, I didn't mean decision. I meant this. No, we came to a consensus. Oh, no, we came to a decision. It depends on what day of the week it is, which word he's using. So it's obviously clear confusion as to how this answer was arrived at. And it wasn't. Look, it was on the backs of the advice of the city council, not Cassandra Mate from the Visitors Bureau, that from the convention visitors visit San Antonio. That is just completely misleading to pin this on her.
Is this a departure? Have they changed the way that they do things in the previous two mayoral administrations? Because Mayor Nuremberg was a part of Castro and also part of Ivy Taylor's administration. Was there like, we're going to do things different, or is this how they've been doing it, and now finally it's come to light?
This is how it's been done, and I don't know. Look, I'm going to attribute this to, you know, this is the managerial process that the city manager has put in place with the city attorney, right? So this process is flawed, period. It has to change. You have to take the votes no matter what. This has been occurring well before Mayor Nuremberg.
Okay, so this is just how they've been doing things,
yes,
and
sir.
They've been doing things flawed, and now it's finally been brought to light.
I would agree with that 100%. It's been flawed for quite a long time, and the process, what this is allowing, it's allowing for policy action behind closed doors. So you can do things as an executive body without public disclosure, because you're doing it in a room that gives you these privileges that aren't warranted for a lot of discussions we have. So the biggest thing I want is, and look, this isn't politics for now for me. This is good governance. Do it when the people are watching and stand for what your vote is. And I think that's where we failed miserably.
So moving forward, you are recommending that there be a recording. I guess, is that, you mean an electronic recording, or do you mean like someone taking notes?
I've asked for a review to audio record the entire session. The law allows, Texas Open Meeting Act requires two pieces. It either requires an audio recording or something called a certified agenda. As far back as 1988, there's been many opinions that say a certified agenda is more than just one or two words or a sentence.
Right.
It's a record of the meeting. Not necessarily verbatim, though, but it's a higher level of record keeping. What I have the biggest concern about, and this is, frankly, here's the one criminal aspect of Open Meetings Act violations. If you do not keep clear records, it is a criminal violation. So I asked to view the certified agendas. I wanted to see what they look like from two previous meetings. I got a chance to see the documents with the city attorney and the city clerk, and I could tell you they're woefully inadequate. They're one sentence. So a citizen or the media, the reporter, yourself, if you came in and tried to subpoena those records so you can see what really happened within the Republican National Convention conversation, it would literally say, Mayor talked about RNC. And that's the extent of the notes.
So let me just push back for a second. The idea for having an executive session for some benefit for the city is that city council members would be able to speak freely about an issue, personnel, legal advice, real estate acquisition, types of things that city you want to be able to talk about freely. Would that free course of conversation, exchanging of ideas, would that be put in jeopardy if there's going to be a recording?
Well, see, and I'm going to push back on you right there, because what you just described is not the purpose of executive session.
Executive privilege.
Very narrow, though. Very narrow.
Very narrow, but
very
still
narrow.
Important.
Yes, we should have those protections if we're attorney-client, right? Let's say we're looking at a lawsuit. We're talking about our lawsuit strategy, our legal strategy. You don't want that out in the open. So, yes, that is a discussion that's held in executive session, and that should be privileged. And by the way, those are not recorded. Coming into the discussion on open meetings, the mayor said this came out of nowhere in his grandstanding. That is 100% not true. I've been on this since day one. You can ask the city attorney. I've been asking questions because it's uncomfortable to me that we continue to push this information. I've been following the city attorney's opinion, but it got to a point where I look at this and say, you know what, we need somebody outside to tell us whether or not what we're doing is right. And look, it's already gotten better. Here's what I can tell your listeners. It's already better. These meetings are far shorter. The discussions are narrow. The topics are narrow. So I'm already successful in reining in an out-of-control executive session process.
Do you think that the city council should have to take a public vote, go back and put it on the agenda, and take a vote on the RNC convention, have a vote on the dais?
So, for instance, let's say we come back and we look at the record-keeping. The records don't match, right? The courts say, hey, that is not proper record-taking. Then those two decisions are undone. But that is not for the city attorney to decide. It's for the courts to decide, or it's for the attorney general to step in. It's for an outside body to say so. Because what we've been doing is authorizing this behavior. And look, the city attorney is coming in, and he's by history, I don't believe he's a municipal law attorney, right? So I think he's digging into this, and he's learning. He's trying to figure out what he's doing as well. But the bottom line is the council has been following that guidance. And at this point, I just gave up on getting what I felt was the right answer. Sir, am I standing on the ground here, you know, fighting right. Technicalities? What I'm trying to do is protect the public's best interests here. And I think if we can get to it, look, it's already better. We're already acting in more accordance with the law. So success is already there for us.
San Antonio City Councilmember Greg Brockhaus represents District 6. He's filed a complaint with the district attorney alleging that the San Antonio City Council violated the Open Meetings Act. When we come back from the break, we'll hear from City Attorney Andy Segovia. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We are exploring the way that the San Antonio City Council conducts executive sessions under the Texas Open Meetings Act. The topic became relevant after a council meeting where members went behind closed doors to discuss a possible bid for the Republican National Convention. District 6 City Council Member Greg Brockhaus has challenged the legality of that executive session with a complaint to the District Attorney's Office. Now we hear from San Antonio City Attorney Andy Segovia. Why were they discussing this? Because normally the City Council doesn't discuss or vote or have anything to do on with what kind of conventions that San Antonio is going to bid on.
The reason that the City Council wanted to discuss this was primarily because, unlike other conventions that Visit SA tries to bring into the city, this one required not only full support from the council, but full support from the community in terms of the county, other stakeholders, the business community. And because it would involve some commitment of city resources, the City Council wanted to, one, understand what that commitment would be, and then to work with Visit San Antonio to see whether, based on that support or not, they would go forward.
So did Visit San Antonio ask the City Council for direction?
Visit San Antonio wanted to gauge the support they would have from the City Council. They made it very clear from the beginning that, again, unless they had the full support of City Council, the community, Bexar County, et cetera, they saw that putting forward for the election probably was a no-go.
What was a no-go?
In other words, if they didn't gauge that they had the full support of the council, they felt that going forward probably was not going to be productive.
Right. So there were so many resources that the city itself was going to have to put into having a convention of this scale and nature, including police overtime. So the city council had to join the conversation.
Correct. That's right. They Visit SA, for example, provided some information in terms of what the scope of leasing of not only the Alamo Dome, but of the convention center and how far ahead those leasing requirements would have to be met. They talked again about what the potential financial commitment would be from the city. They talked about security issues. So they talked about a number of things, again, trying to set out the parameters under which the city would have to, what the city would have to do if they move forward.
Have there been conventions or events in the past, like the Final Four, something of that magnitude, where the city council had to be consulted in advance before there was a bid put in for that?
For the Final Four, no, because we have hosted Final Fours before. So there was a pretty fundamental understanding of what was needed for Final Four. Again, because this was the RNC convention that only comes about every 4 years. In fact, any political convention only comes around every 4 years. The commitments in terms of the of money or any other city commitments, they will vary substantially. So that's why the discussion with the council had to be done.
So why did this have to be done in executive session?
The portion that was done in what was discussed in executive session all fit under the exceptions under the Texas Open Meetings Act, and so there was attorney-client conversations. There was conversations about again what the leasing requirements would be, and there was discussion about what financial commitments the city would need to make in order for Visit SA to post to do a bid.
The city council had to make a decision on those issues regarding whether or not the city should dedicate resources. And so why isn't that a decision that needed to be made as a vote in front of the people?
The reason for that is that it was Visit SA that had to make the determination of whether they had the full support of the city to move forward. And it was their determination that they didn't have the full support after the discussion.
How do you make that determination without a vote?
You make that determination based on the questions that come out. You base that based on some of the opinions that were stated during the discussion. And just from the general discussion, you gauge what the level of interest is, what the level of commitment is by the city council.
So Councilman Greg Brockhaus alleges that there was a straw vote, straight up straw vote, that was taken in that executive session, which is in violation of the Open Meetings Act, that if there is a vote to be taken, then the vote should be taken out in public.
He's right about that straw votes are not allowed in executive session, but I'm here to say I was present there. There was no straw vote taken.
You're saying that there was no violation of the Texas Open Meetings Act.
That is absolutely correct. There was no violation of the Texas Open Meetings Act.
In either, so people can talk about the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law, but you're concerned about the letter of the law because, right now it's gone to the district attorney, and so we're now in the court of the letter of the law.
Yes, Councilman Brockhaus asked the district attorney to look into it. We have reached out to the district attorney and are ready to answer any questions that he may have in terms of what happened that day.
So what's at stake if the district attorney determines that there is a reasonable suspicion that this needs to be looked at further?
Well, that would be really up to the district attorney as to the scope of any inquiry he wants to launch. But to be clear, under the Texas Open Meetings Act, going to the district attorney, really you're saying that there was a criminal violation of the Texas Open Meetings Act. The ramifications of that can be severe, fine up to $500 and confinement in the county jail for up to 6 months.
who would be going to jail for up to 6 months if they find this was in violation, and that they thought that it was a criminal act of so severe. This hasn't happened very often. I've never heard of anyone having to go spend time behind bars for an Open Meetings Act violation.
Right.
But who would be the person you would have to go do that?
Whoever they would find would knowingly know that they were violating the act and then went ahead and moved forward. Given my presence at the meeting, given knowing how the council takes very seriously compliance with the Texas Open Meetings Act, I'm fully confident that, one, no violation took place, and secondly, for sure, no criminal violation took place.
Did Mayor Ron Nirenberg, did he consult with you about how the typical way of handling something like this?
Correct. I mean, he did talk to me, as other council people talk to me whenever they have questions about compliance with the Texas Open Meetings Act, and I set out for him the parameters for having that discussion in terms of what the exceptions are and what the topics could be that could be discussed. And then I laid those parameters out pretty specifically in a memorandum before the meeting.
So you gave the mayor pretty clear direction on what you saw was the best way of handling this in regards to complying with the Open Meetings Act, and he followed your instructions?
That is correct. I not only gave the mayor direction, but I gave the entire council direction, and we conducted the meeting consistent with the parameters I laid out.
Did the mayor or anyone else push back on you, or did they ignore your instructions in any way?
No, they didn't. I mean, again, the meeting was held within the parameters of what I had laid out. The mayor wanted to have the discussion consistent with some other discussions that the council has on economic development and other matters that fall under the exceptions.
So if one of having this discussion about what the city's responsibilities if we bid on the Republican National Convention, if someone, one of the city council members, were to start talking about politics, like we don't like Donald Trump and we don't like Republicans in that manner, what would you have done?
I would have shut that down, that discussion down. Again, the parameters I had laid out were those that very clearly fall under the exceptions under the Texas Open Meetings Act. The mayor, if he wanted, could have elected to have a more robust discussion in public. But again, what we discussed in that executive session met the parameters.
So you're saying that you never heard anyone say anything that was disparaging to the Republican Party or President Donald Trump as some sort of reasoning why the city should not be supporting having the Republican National Convention here?
Well, I don't want to get into the exact details of the substantive discussions, but I can say again that the discussion fell within the exceptions of the Texas Open Meetings Act.
So how would you have done that if someone starts mouthing off about President Donald Trump in an inappropriate way in this meeting, not because of, and which would be outside of the parameters of what open meetings, what the executive session is supposed to be doing? What do you do? Raise your hand?
Well, that's a good question. What I would do is I would say, Councilman, let me remind you about my memorandum and what the parameters are for this discussion, and please do not engage in discussion outside those parameters.
This was on the agenda that this was going to be discussed in executive session?
Correct.
Now, so that was the certified agenda that was given to the public?
Oh, no. This is a certified agenda is different than the agenda that's posted. A certified agenda is what's required under the Texas Open Meetings Act to document or record an executive session. City councils are given the option of either to record the sessions or to have a certified agenda. The city clerk keeps a certified agenda of all executive sessions.
So, and a certified agenda would contain what?
A certified agenda would contain the agenda as posted, and then the clerk would identify what was actually discussed during the meeting in terms of the topic posted. So really, the certified agendas are there to ensure that what was discussed met with what was posted. For example, if we had posted to talk about the RNC convention, which is what we talked about, had we talked, for example, about other budget items, the clerk would have noted that. And so that's what the purpose of the certified agenda is, to make sure that we stay consistent with what was posted.
But it's not as detailed as minutes of a meeting would be.
That is correct. They are not meant to be detailed minutes of the meeting.
So Councilman Brockhaus is now calling for having these types of executive sessions recorded in the future, you know, with electronic recording device, which would be, you know, a complete word-for-word documentation of everything that is said in these meetings. Do you have any concerns about that?
Well, a couple of things. One is, even if we do record the sessions under the Texas Open Meetings Act, you still would not record discussions related to attorney-client privilege. That's one. And two, the recording would still not be available for the public. Under the Texas Open Meetings Act, to get any recording or any certified agenda, a district court has to issue a court order for that to happen.
And that could happen. I mean, people go to the court all the time. People sue the city every day, as you well know.
Correct, yes. Unfortunately, I do well know that pretty well.
And then say, I want to hear what they said. And if there was a recording of this meeting, then that the one we're talking about right now, would this fall under the exception of the attorney-client privilege, and there would be nothing to record?
Again, part of the discussion fell under the exception of attorney-client privilege. Part of the discussion fell under other exceptions under the Texas Open Meetings Act.
So, given what we know now about some of the fallout from this meeting, would you have done things differently?
No, I wouldn't have done things differently in terms of what advice I gave. There is, again, one could offer some constructive criticism as to whether there should have been, again, a more robust meeting afterward.
In the public?
In the public, in terms of the council people articulating other opinions or issues that don't fall under the exceptions. I mean, that's a fair criticism, but that there's a big difference between that criticism and saying what happened at that meeting is criminal.
Councilman Brockhaus has brought up the fact that you are basically new to municipal law and that this may not be your area of expertise.
That's a criticism I haven't heard. That's unfortunate if he feels that way. We have a staff of over 50 attorneys. They got a tremendous amount of experience and knowledge in the Texas Open Meetings Act. I have carefully studied the Texas Open Meetings Act, and it's pretty straightforward what the requirements are and what the exceptions are. So I'm fully confident that the advice we gave was appropriate and was spot on.
So moving forward, has there been any sort of change in policy or procedure or just the way that you're going to be doing things in the future when it comes to having going into executive session?
We have, we have always taken compliance with the Open Meetings Act very seriously. We will always take a look at our processes and procedures. There's always continual improvement, not just with the Open Meetings Act, but really with anything we do at the city and within the city's legal department. So we'll be looking at that, but we don't plan any drastic or substantial changes to how we do our business.
Is the way that the Nuremberg administration, their approach to open meetings and going into executive session, any different than the way that Mayor Taylor or Mayor Castro conducted business?
No, I would say that there's no really substantive difference between the way that Mayor Nuremberg conducts executive sessions, both in terms of the process and scope versus the previous administration.
So had this happened under these other mayors, it would have been pretty much the exact same sort of way? It would have rolled out?
It would have rolled out exactly the same way, correct.
That was San Antonio City Attorney Andy Segovia. We're talking about the use of executive session at City Hall and a complaint filed by District 6 City Council Member Greg Brockhaus to the District Attorney's Office. When we come back, we're opening up the phone lines, and there's lots of ways for you can join our conversation as we talk about open meetings. Give us a call at 210-614-8980. You can also email questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. Tweet at us at tprsource. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're discussing how San Antonio City Council conducts executive sessions under the Texas Open Meetings Act. We're now joined by Joe Larson,
board attorney for the Freedom of Information Foundation of Texas, and Scott Houston, the deputy executive director and general counsel for the Texas Municipal League. It's great to have you both with us this afternoon. Joe Larson at the Freedom of Information Foundation of Texas, do you have any concerns or observations about the way that the San Antonio City Council handled the executive session when it came to the non-decision on hosting the bidding for the RNC convention?
Yeah, sure do.
Go right ahead.
Well, my principal objection, and it's not really one that Mr. Brockhaus raised, although I think he alluded to it. I don't think that this is properly an executive session under the economic development negotiations. So I think the bulk of this, where they say they're talking about economic issues, that it requires far more than that to fall within the exception, which is Section 551.087 under the Texas Government Code. You can go into an executive session regarding commercial or financial information the government body has received from a business prospect that the government body seeks to have locate, stay, or expand in or near the territory of the governmental body. And you can withhold that sort of information you've received from them, and you can also have the closed session to deliberate the offer of a financial or other incentive to a business prospect. This is not a business prospect situation. Whether the RNC has or does not have a convention in San Antonio, they're not a business prospect that are going to stay, locate, or expand in that area. They're not trying to. The city of San Antonio does not seek to have the Republican Party locate, stay, or expand in the area. This simply does not apply. It should have been in an open session to begin with.
So that opens up a different action line than what we've been talking about. Really, the central question has been, is this non-decision, as has been talked about, when even that is a decision that should be made in an open meeting so that the public can see what the how their representatives are representing them?
I agree that, and I think that's an issue, too, even if this were a properly called closed session. And I want to state it's extremely important to realize that this is not even properly a closed session to begin with. Although this has been talked around, it's an extremely important issue, and everything else seems to follow from that. So it can't be dropped. But let's say that it was a properly called closed session, say under attorney-client privilege, and I don't know what attorney he has to be giving professional legal advice, and I don't know what he was doing in that regard either. So, but then the question is to whether or not you can come up with a consensus in a closed session. Well, anybody that listens to people speaking in a closed session will realize where their position is. But that doesn't mean people necessarily even deliberate. They may keep their counsel. But the way this went down, it appears as though a decision was made. A conclusion was reached, an action was taken. They call it a non-action, but it was required that they make a decision, and then a decision of non-action was a decision in and of itself. The default was a decision.
Right, and so that's the concern. Let me go to Scott Houston, the Deputy Executive Director, General Counsel for the Texas Municipal League. So, cities, counties, school districts all use executive session. It's an important part of how you do business. Can you kind of explain to a citizen why executive sessions are important, why they need to exist?
Absolutely. Thanks, David. The most important reason to have these sessions is actually just what you said, to protect either the taxpayers, businesses, or employees. And there's actually only a handful of exceptions that allow one of these governmental bodies to go into executive session. They can consult with their attorney. They can discuss a personnel matter related to a city employee or officer. They can discuss the lease or sale of property so that they don't tip their hand in a property transaction. And the one that's been talked about here by Joe is they can discuss information given to them by an economic development prospect to decide whether or not it makes sense to seek to have that prospect expand or stay in the city limits or the county as well.
But typically, citizens are going to be very suspicious of when I've been in many, many meetings where they go into executive session and we always know what's going on in there. So how do we make sure that these meetings are being done the way they're supposed to be?
Right. I mean, I think the easiest way to do that is to rely on what the legislature has given us. Our legislature and essentially every other legislature across the country has provided these exceptions based on sound policy that it protects taxpayer money, protects the confidentiality of employees that are being talked about, et cetera, et cetera.
Are you concerned about this case here in San Antonio, that the allegation that the executive session is being misused in a way, and that if there is a court decision, could this change how executive sessions are viewed across the state?
Sure. I think what we've heard so far shows what's not uncommon, right, especially when you talk to attorneys, that opinions can differ as to what can be done. And that's why it's so important for these governing bodies to rely on the advice of their city attorney. The city attorney has a fiduciary duty to that city to explain the law in a way that protects them. And when you have folks from the outside, whether it's me or other commentators that come and try to armchair quarterback, for lack of a better word, it's difficult for us to know or be privy to all the information that the city attorney and the city council members have and discuss in those sessions.
So in this executive session with the San Antonio City Council talking about a bid for the 2020 Republican National Convention, they're discussing information that could reveal the competitive nature of San Antonio's convention business. Is that something that you would think should be held in executive session?
Well, I don't think my opinion matters. I think it matters what the city council wants to do based upon the advice of their city attorney. There was, you know, you talked a little bit about what can be said in the executive session and whether votes can be taken. And we know that the statute provides that no vote can be taken in the session. But there's a real amount of confusion as to exactly what can be done. There's a court case that has been.
Okay, we kind of, are you there?
I'm sorry, you still there?
Yes, we just lost you when you said there's a court case.
Sorry, there's a court case that talks about what can go on in this session. And in that court case, it clearly says no straw polls can happen. But in that same case, the court says it's okay to ask a member how they would vote if they were going to act on this in open session. So it's a little bit confusing. And when I look at it, it seems to me like discussion was had and no action was taken by the city. So the mayor coming out to report that doesn't mean that action was taken.
Right, but there are people who are saying that a discussion of an inaction is a decision. But the question is whether it's a violation of the letter of the law or the spirit of the law. And it's a political question as well, because people vote according to how they feel. Let me go to Bill. He called in. The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join the conversation like Bill. And Bill, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is very, very... very, very interesting, and I find it representing most citizens, I believe. We really want our council rep to speak freely and honestly and openly. When these folks run for office, they're not hiding and ducking and diving. They're speaking clearly. That's what we want, and really no less. As far as the city attorney goes, I noticed he ducked your question when you asked him about his expertise. He referred to these 50 lawyers on staff. He didn't answer the question, so that tells me he may be a little shaky in terms of his expertise and his ability to really communicate to the city council what he really believes and thinks about a given issue.
All right, Bill, thank you for that call. And I just want to say that Andy Segovia, the city attorney, came to become the city attorney in 2016. Prior to that, he worked for, I believe, General Motors. We also have two other city council members who are attorneys. One of them is Cruz Shaw, and the other one is Mandy Pelaez, and they're also familiar with the law and with municipal law and that level. Let me go over to Joe Larson, the board attorney for the Freedom Information Foundation of Texas. And can you talk more about that aspect that our caller brought up?
You mean with regard to the experience of the...
No, and in regard to, you know, that people want to see, You know, as the city council should err on the side of openness, and people, the voters want to see what's going on.
Well, I think that's clear. That and that the whole point, you know, you spoken earlier in the city attorney and Mr. Brockhouse spoke earlier about the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. And I think what you see frequently are governmental bodies doing everything in their power to hide behind the letter of the law instead of act in the spirit of the law. In a case like this, where a matter of such high public importance, this is exactly the sort of issue that should be done in front of the people. There really is no good reason to have had this in executive session to begin with. But on top of that, you know, to do that and then to have the mayor come out and quote unquote report on what happened in a closed session. Well, you know, what the people need to see isn't the mayor up there reporting about what happened in a closed session. The people need to see the council members speaking their own words on their own opinion and deliberating this highly contentious matter. In airing these public issues in the way the act contemplated.
So we have a complaint filed with our district attorney in Bexar County, Joe Larson, about this case, and what could happen moving forward? What's at stake?
Well, I do think that, I mean, we do have a criminal case here. I have to say there was one point made by the city attorney that bears strongly on this criminal case. The section, I think, that's going to be at issue, 551.144, basically has an advice of counsel defense. And so, I mean, even if the city attorney is mistaken, and I believe he is, I think that advice of counsel defense will probably prevent the finding of a criminal violation. But I think without that, there's certainly a serious question. To me, the evidence underscores that there was a violation here. And again, I want
to... So you see a violation. Okay, let me go to Scott Houston with the Texas Municipal League for about 30 seconds for a final thought.
Sure. David, I mean, I think blanket assertions about what city officials or other governmental officials do, it's offensive. The Texas Municipal League is one of many groups that is certified by the Attorney General's office to teach the Open Meetings Act. And we do that very frequently to new city officials. And I can guarantee you that when I or my other lawyers make those presentations, we teach them the most conservative way to comply with the law. One thing about what the caller said is very interesting. A home rule city like San Antonio has a charter, and that charter could be amended by the citizens with a petition and an election.
Yeah.
And we have had cities in the past that had provisions in their charter that prohibited executive sessions.
Wow. That would be interesting. All right. I want to thank you, Scott Houston, with the Texas Municipal League. We also spoke with Joe Larson, the board attorney with the Freedom of Information Foundation of Texas. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you so much for joining us.